Last November, I turned off the highway into a two-pump gas station in the middle of nowhere at around 1:30 in the morning. I guess I was kind of zonked from how tired I was because as I drove my car up to the pump, everything seemed as normal as could be. My eyes were locked on the pump display as I filled my car up, trying my best to not go a penny over 30 bucks, so it was only when I walked over to the kiosk to pay that I noticed something was off. The first thing that got my attention was how there was no one manning this kiosk. At first, I just waited, thinking the employee was just taking a quick bathroom break or something of that nature. But then as I started to look around, I realized the driver of the car at the pump in front of me was nowhere to be seen either. They weren't in their car, and they weren't inside the convenience store. So my first thought was how the driver and the gas station attendant must have been both in the back of the store, I guess. I got this momentary chill, thinking I might have interrupted a robbery or something, and I was suddenly very hesitant to knock on the glass or call for service. I remember turning to check out the car parked in front of me and thinking, if it's a Honda, then I'm getting out of here. But it looked to me like it was a 2011 3 Series. Now, if you don't know cars, Hondas are easy to steal. BMWs, on the other hand, not so much. And while that didn't completely preclude the possibility that there was a robbery in progress, it reassured me enough that I started knocking on the glass and asking if there was anyone there. I knocked once, and then twice, and then after the third time, I knocked on the glass in as many minutes, and it hit me that something highly unusual was clearly going on. My first thought was to try the door to the convenience store. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be locked, but when I pushed, the door swung right open for me. I walked up to the counter, calling out,
"Hello?"
the whole time. And then thinking there might have been some kind of medical emergency, I jumped the counter and took a look around the back of the store. There was a bathroom and a storage room and a small office, but all three were unlocked and empty. Then, and only then, did I realize that the entire gas station was completely deserted. I checked around the back just to be sure, but I figured that there'd be no one there. And then once I was 100% sure something seriously weird was going on, I pulled out my phone and got ready to dial 911. I wasn't still 100% sure what to do, so I called out hello again, but much louder. And when that got no response, I called the cops. I could tell that, at first anyway, that the dispatcher thought that I was just some jerk customer who was angry my gas station attendant wasn't there when I needed them. But once I properly explained that there was literally no one to be found, anywhere on the premises or elsewhere, she started to take my call a little more seriously. She asked where I was, and when I told her, she asked if it looked like there had been a robbery. I remember asking, "How the hell would I know?" But she explained that if there had been a robbery recently, an employee might still be hiding somewhere. And I felt this sort of twinge of frustration because, like I said, I'd looked probably everywhere except the dumpster around the side of the gas station. And as I'm walking back from checking out the highway for signs of life, I just so happened to be passing it as the thought to open it popped into my head. I wanted to be able to say to the dispatcher, "There, I even checked the station's dumpster. There's definitely nobody here, ma'am." But when I opened the dumpster, there they were. I only caught a glimpse of what was inside before I dropped the lid of that dumpster and backed off like the thing was radioactive. But a glimpse was enough for me. There were two bodies in there, all bent out of shape with dark stains all over their clothes, and one of them was almost certainly wearing a gas station uniform. I remember saying something like, "Oh Jesus, oh my God," pacing away from the dumpster in a state of total shock, with the dispatcher in my ear.
"Sir? Sir, tell me what's going on, sir."
And I told her.
"They're in the dumpster. Jesus fucking Christ, they're in the goddamn dumpster."
The cops arrived in about 10 to 15 minutes, and by then I'd run off near to the highway to puke up all the contents of my stomach. And I'd remembered that thing about preserving the integrity of crime scenes, so in a wild panic, I'd actually puked as I was running, then had to hold puke in my mouth for a few seconds before I puked even more out near the highway. And after that, I just walked back and forth hitting my vape until I saw a cop car heading towards me down the highway, and then after talking to one of the officers for a few minutes, He told me I was free to leave. I looked the whole thing up online the first chance that I got later, but although I found a bunch of stories about a member of the public, yours truly, finding some bodies at a gas station, there was nothing that explained how or why those two people had been killed. And ever since, I've always been extra careful while driving at night, both in the sense that I keep a very close eye on my fuel gauge and try to avoid any nocturnal pit stops, but also, if a gas station looks a little too quiet, I'll avoid it altogether and just head to the next one. I used to work nights at a gas station called North Star Mart out near a place called Foster in rural Virginia. I used to drive up from Gloucester, get there at around 10 p.m., and then work all through the night until 6 a.m. when my boss, a dude named Judd, came over to relieve me. Judd lived right next door to the gas station in a big old house that he claimed that he built himself. There was no way that he built that whole thing on his own, but he was far too nice for me to call him out on it, so I just let it be. He was a great boss, too. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Not many folks can say that they had a boss who had done almost anything to keep him safe, but I can, and it makes me feel a little guilty sometimes that I don't head up there to visit him more. But I don't like driving around Foster anymore. I don't like going anywhere near the place, and by the end of this story, I think you're going to understand why. I worked at the North Star for 9 months and 3 weeks, working anything from 2 to 5 nights a week, depending on how busy I was at school. Not a single customer in all the time I worked there ever gave me a single ounce of trouble. It was one of the best jobs I ever had in that respect. It was always a little busier on weekends, but during weeknights, I'd sometimes serve only 2 or 3 customers a night and spend the rest of my time watching movies on my iPod, back when that was like a revolutionary thing to do. Judd was really chill like that. He didn't give me a bunch of cleaning tasks, and he didn't give me any busy work at all, actually. And he only ever had one rule. If anyone ever showed up late at night, acting weird in any way, I was to call him right away. It didn't matter if the call woke him and his wife up from the sweetest dreams they'd ever had. If anyone was acting sketch, Judd wanted to know about it. I figured that was fair enough. The gas station was Judd's whole life. It was his retirement plan, so if it went up in flames, well, you see where I'm going with this. So even though it felt slightly emasculating, as in I felt like I could take care of the station myself, I agreed to give Judd a call every time there was any disturbances. When he first told me about his little golden rule, I'd be lying if I said that it didn't make me a little nervous, I guess. It suggested that there were a lot of weird people who came by the gas station at night, but that couldn't have been further from the truth. Like I said, 9 whole months and not a single instance of weird or disturbing behavior. And then one night, it happened. I was in the back office one night, splitting my attention between security monitors and a copy of The Dark Knight Rises, when I suddenly saw a lone figure approaching the gas station. We had 3 cameras. One facing the pumps, one facing the approach to the store, and a third which allowed me to watch the inside of the store from the back office. I can see the guy walking towards the store, past the pumps, and then into the view of the second camera. But then, instead of walking into the store, like literally everybody else, he stops dead outside the door. He's right in the view of the second camera, so I'm looking at this guy fairly close up, and he looked like a perfectly regular rural Virginian dad type. He looked like he had work boots on, some faded jeans, and a baseball cap with some kind of hunting or fishing logo on it. Literally the most unremarkable looking guy that could ever walk through our door. But his behavior most definitely got my attention. I guess it's not entirely true that nothing weird ever happened, because there was one previous occasion where I called Judd in the middle of the night. Some crazy lady was screaming like a demon out near the pumps. It was a Saturday, and it had to be maybe 4 to 4:30 in the morning. But just like Judd said, I gave him a call at his house. I told him about the lady and how her screaming was freaking me out. He asked for a description, I gave him one, and then he tells me, "Oh, that's just Rhonda liquored up on payday. She'll head home once she's tired herself out." And then you know what? She did. She eventually stopped screaming and then just kind of walked off, like she was done with that night's performance. Anyway, the guy in the sporting goods cap stopped dead and just stood there in front of the camera, not moving a muscle. Not nearly as freaky as screaming like a banshee, but still weird nonetheless. I figured he was, I don't know, taking a moment to think or something. But then, as I'm watching him, his head starts slowly moving, turning his neck until he's staring into the camera lens. I know it was just an illusion, but it felt like he was staring directly at me, and that was easily one of the most unnerving sensations I've ever experienced. Once the guy's behavior reached a concerning level of weird, I grabbed the phone and called Judd. I didn't even feel emasculated doing it either. Whatever that guy's problem was, it wasn't meth. It was something way scarier than that. Judd picked up the phone, then once again, he asked me to describe the person acting weird. I started describing the guy, and then the next thing, Judd slams the phone down. I look back at the screen and the guy's disappeared from view, but he's not in the store either, so I'm thinking, where the hell's he gone? But at the same time, I'm also thinking, why did Judd just slam that phone down on me? He told me to call him if something weird started to happen, and the first time he sounded sleepy but pretty calm, so I was wondering what was so different about that time, when I suddenly see him on the monitors. Judd was running towards the gas station in nothing but his boxer shorts and a wife beater, and he was carrying a shotgun in his hands. He burst into the store and asked me where he is. Then, when I say the guy just disappeared, and that I think he just walked off, Judd runs past me into the office to check the monitors. I'm freaking out too, because what the hell is he carrying that shotgun for? But no matter how many times I asked him what's going on, he kept silencing me and telling me that I needed to concentrate as he ran back to the security footage to get a look at the guy's face. I watched him, rewinding the footage until he finally found what he was looking for, and when he did, I watched Judd turn completely pale. Whoever it was, Judd was terrified of him. So terrified that he felt the need to come running over with a shotgun to protect me, and then, that scared the hell out of me too. Judd sent me home that night after calling the cops, and the next day, he called to say that he'd understand if I didn't want to come back to work. I asked just one time if he could tell me who the man was, and Judd paused, and then repeated the part about understanding if I didn't want to come back. I thanked him for the job, wished him luck, and then just hung up. Like I said earlier, I still feel guilty about not going up to see him more. He was a great guy and a great boss, but without knowing who that guy was, without knowing why Judd was so scared of him, I couldn't put myself in the position of working for him anymore. I didn't want to die for some stupid gas station job, no matter how cool my boss was. And if there was a guy out there who scared the hell out of one of the toughest sons of bitches I'd ever known, then what chance in hell did I have?
My mom used to work the night shift at a gas station in the early 90s. This is one of those mom and pop gas stations, so typically there was only about one person working the station at a time. During the night of the story, my mom's schedule had overlapped with one of her coworkers for 2 hours because there had apparently been an armed robbery in the same area the night before, so the owner was a bit concerned about being the next target of the robbers. After about 2 hours, my mom's coworker leaves. About a half hour later, there was a goth girl that comes into the station and buys a pack of cigarettes. The girl is fidgety but polite. My mom tells the girl to have a good night, then begins to clean the hot dog case. As my mom starts cleaning, she notices that the girl doesn't leave the station. The girl then starts walking around for about 5 minutes, just looking at random items on the shelves. My mom finally stops what she is doing, and she then asks the girl if she needs anything. The girl goes up to the counter and tells my mom that her car ran out of gas just up the street, so she needs to get some gas. The girl doesn't have a gas can, so my mom grabs one of the gas cans from behind the counter and then tells the girl the price of the can. The girl then says that she doesn't have enough money for the can. Mind you, she literally just bought a pack of cigarettes. My mom kind of wears her heart on her sleeve more than she wants to sometimes, so she tells the girl that she'll buy the gas can for her. The girl then smiles and thanks my mom. My mom lets the girl know that she doesn't have enough money to buy gas for herself, let alone for somebody else. The girl seems to accept this and then thanks my mom profusely. Goth girl says she has someone she can call who will stop by the station and give her some gas money. My mom then asks if she has enough change for the payphone, and the girl says yes. She thanked my mom yet again for the gas can, then leaves. My mom is really good at reading people, and while the goth girl seemed polite, there's something about the whole situation that was really giving my mom bad vibes. My mom looks at the surveillance footage that gives an outside view of the station. Instead of walking to the payphone, which is just left of the front door, the girl starts walking to a van that's parked really close to the station's exit. The girl then walks up to the passenger side of the van, and she starts talking to someone who's inside the van. She points a few times at the station while my mom is secretly praying she's not about to be robbed. The conversation between Goth Girl and whoever was in the van only lasts about a minute or two, and my mom just watches as the Goth Girl starts walking right back to the station. The Goth Girl comes back to the station and she tells my mom that she had got some gas money from her uncle, but that when she tried pumping gas, she had some trouble with the handle of the gas pump. Mind you, the gas pumps at the station are literally your basic no-thrills pumps. The girl then asks my mom if she could come outside and help her. My mom pretends to be calm, but she then starts to panic on the inside. She then tells the girl that she can't leave the station, so she asks the girl to try another pump. The girl says she tried them all, but she just can't figure out how they work. She asks again if my mom would come outside and just show her how one of the station's pumps work. My mom apologizes and she then explains that she's not able to leave the station unattended, or she'll be fired. She tells the girl that there's a gas station just a block up the street, and that they always have multiple employees on staff, so she should be able to get someone to help her over there. The girl starts to whine and she starts to let out this really eerie sort of snarl. She then gives the fakest big smile she can muster and tells my mom that she'll only be gone for a minute, and that she really needs my mom's help. Now, when she said that she really needed her help, her teeth were clenched and she started stomping up and down like a pouting toddler. Goth Girl then starts breathing excitedly like she's a rabid animal or something. At this point, my mom then drops all pretenses of being nice, gives the girl what she calls her cold bitch smile, and then says, "So, by the way, I saw you talking with your friends outside, and I already called the cops and gave them your friend's license plate number. They should be here in just a minute. They're so fast in this town." My mom was, of course, bluffing, and luckily for her, the girl seems to believe her. Goth Girl quickly leaves the store, gets inside the van, and right before she can fully shut the side door, the van is then peeling right out of the parking lot. My mom did wind up calling the police later on and then gave a general description of the van and girl. It didn't take too long for the police to find the van. It had apparently been abandoned on the side of the road near a wooded area. The girl and her friends had used hammers and box cutters to destroy the van's interior. The police didn't know what the girl and her friends had planned to do to my mom, but they said whatever it was, it probably wasn't even robbery. My mom wound up turning in her 2-week notice shortly after this happened. My mom's advice to anyone listening to this story is to always, always trust your gut instincts. They just might save your life one day.
So this was earlier this year. I moved to a different town and was finally settled into my new place. It was the night before Christmas and family was coming by early that morning, so I spent the evening cleaning and prepping for the next day. All was well, I was in high spirits and crawled into bed. It was the first time that I was hosting Christmas, so I was a bit too anxious and giddy to fall asleep. I knew that I should sleep soon, but I was just wide awake, so I played on my phone a bit and just passed the time. It was about maybe 10 p.m. or so. But then suddenly, I'm in the car with my husband on the highway, and he's pointing at something in the sky, frantically yelling, "What is that?" And the next thing I know is that I'm groggy and waking up, and there's lights around me and a dark shadow, and it feels like there's fingers pressing my temples and something is on my head. I vividly remember that feeling of dread and thinking, oh no, not again. I feel groggy but manage to mumble and lift my arm, which was heavy, and tried to say, I'm awake. I then just closed my eyes and wanted it to be over with, and I remember thinking, I hope this doesn't last long. Suddenly, there's blackness, and I snap awake. I'm drenched in sweat. There are two points on my forehead that are throbbing in pain. I'm in my bedroom again, and everything as I left it. The TV is on, my phone is in my hand, and I'm thinking, man, that was a weird dream. Suddenly, there's a loud noise, and the power shuts off, leaving me in the dark. It scared me half to death as well, and I jumped up and tried to wake my husband, who was dead asleep. Finally, after a few seconds though, the power was back on, and my husband thinks that I'm just silly. The thing is that I understand that it could very much have been just a dream. That's not impossible, I suppose, but I'm not much of a dreamer, and if I do, they aren't that vivid. This one just felt so real, but why? And why aliens of all things? I'm mostly into like ghostly stories, so I don't read or look up UFO stuff that much, and I remember the physical feeling of dread that it was happening again, and I could feel my stomach drop, and I felt sick when I thought, not this again. But the strange thing is that I don't recall any other dreams or experiences like this. It's just so random. It was Christmas too, so I definitely wasn't thinking about aliens or anything. Anyway, I don't know what to think of any of this. I guess I'm just sharing it to get it off my chest and reaching out, I suppose. So, if you have any idea about what any of this could be, then please do let me know.